This is Good News Hour, the program wholly dedicated to the Word of God. And your speaker today is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And I'm going to ask your attention now, please, to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians. And once again, shall I remind you that we have for you a secret. Now, we're not going to keep you in the dark again about this secret, but really it is a secret. And shall I just state that we have been going over some of the various secrets, or we should say, scriptural, these are mysteries, the various mysteries that are spoken of by the great Apostle Paul, the various mysteries that are spoken of in the Word of God. And there's a very striking statement in the Old Testament, and I want to again remind you that God has secrets. And these are high secrets. Oh, indeed they are. These are what we call the topmost secrets. Now, we have secrets in our country, and they're military secrets. And these secrets we wouldn't dare share with any nation. We wouldn't share with anybody. And we thank God that these secrets are reserved, and they're kept from others, too. And so we rest in a measure of confidence, and we feel quite safe as one could be in a world like this. But now, God is different than man. God has secrets, and the secrets that he has, he will not keep to himself. He wants to share them, and share them with clay mortals. Oh, yes, he wants to share them with sinners, and especially sinners saved by grace. Now, if you can think of God, the God of high heaven, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and having secrets pent up in his heart in the eternal ages past, and yet at the proper time he has made known those secrets to fallen humanity, to mankind, the creatures of his hand. And in order to make those, bring those secrets to the light, he had to send his Son from heaven and sent him right into this world. Now, I think we have stressed that the first secret is the secret of the gospel, and of course, if you know that secret, if that secret has been revealed to you, because you see, it is a mystery. Paul speaks of it as such in Ephesians chapter 6, and he prayed and asked the saints to pray with him, that he might have utterance in making known the secret of the gospel. Men and women are in need of that secret. But now God has other secrets too, and we're going to speak to you today about the mystery of iniquity, or the secret of iniquity revealed. It's all out, and there's some most interesting things in connection with it. And did we not remind you that even in the Old Testament, when God performed some of his mighty acts, in other words, when judgment was pronounced, judgment was to fall upon a nation or upon multitudes or smaller companies or even individuals, the God of heaven never permitted that judgment to fall in its intensity and severity without first of all giving a word of warning so that men and women, being forewarned, could be forearmed. Now, he doesn't make his secrets known to everybody. I believe that they could be known by all. That is to say, if the first secret was known, the secret of the gospel, and then if time was spent in unbroken communion and fellowship with the God of heaven, and time spent in his very presence day after day in communion with him unbroken, I believe that secrets would be revealed. Should I remind you of Abraham, who is spoken of as not only the father of the faithful, but spoken of as a friend of God. And he's spoken of as such, and not once, but on two or three occasions at least. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Now, the reason why he was going to make known this secret to Abraham was because God had communicated to him thoughts, and God had communicated to him his mind, and he knew, he says, "I know him, he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." Well, so much for that. Now then, shall we get into the secret of the mystery, or the mystery of iniquity as it's spoken of in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the second chapter. And, of course, beginning at verse 1, he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, for that day, or as that the day of the Christ is at hand, or better, the day of the Lord." Then he says, "Let no man deceive you." Now, two things he did not want. He did not want his children. Now, when I say his children, we mean those who have been reached and saved by the grace of God, born of his Holy Spirit. And, of course, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And you have to have the Spirit of God, born of the Spirit, to be able to appreciate and understand the mysteries that are revealed in the Word of God. For we read in the Epistle to Corinthians, the first epistle, and the second chapter, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, and so on, because they are spiritually discerned. But now then, a few remarks about the coming one that's described in this portion. And should I remind you, too, again, that this is, in all likelihood, the darkest page in the canon of inspiration. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, where we have an account of one who is coming. Now, God has been pleased to reveal this to us. I mean, the one that is coming is spoken of as the Antichrist, and he's described in various ways in this portion. So let's get at it right quick. Verse 3 we read, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, I just want to make one statement as to this. The man of sin is the lawless one. And, of course, he is none other than the Antichrist. Now, we don't want to confuse the two beasts that are spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. The first beast, who is the prince, and will be the head of the revived Roman Empire in a very soon coming day. And then, of course, there will be the second beast, who rises not up out of the troubled waters, but he comes up out of the earth. And you know, Israel was and is an earthly people. And then he has other marks to characterize him and surely give him the marks that distinguish him from the first. In other words, the first is the prince or the political leader. The second is the religious leader. He will be a Jew. Now, don't be deceived in that respect. There's no need, because, after all, the Word of God is so clear, and the one who comes as Antichrist will have to have proper credentials in order to deceive the children of Israel. Many of them will be deceived. Let me remind you of the words of my Savior. When he was here now upon earth hundreds of years ago, this is what he said. "I am come in my Father's name," that he did, "and ye receive me not." And I don't think there are words you could find anywhere that contain more tenderness than that. Yes, those words were filled with pathos, as he said to his own people whom he loved, his earthly people, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." Now, this is the one that's coming. He hasn't come as yet. We can see the evidence because, you know, coming events cast their shadows before them. And we can see everything about us today. And it all points forward to the time when that one will come forth who is anti-Christ, against Christ in every sense of the word. But let's read just a little bit more about him here. This is one of his marks now. First, he's a lawless one. And I mustn't forget to point out, we may have more to say about it later, we have in this portion the lawless one, and then we have the lawless ones. Did you know that we're living in days when there's little or no respect for constituted authority. And I'm not surprised when I think of our dear president a few days ago speaking of some acts that we all are familiar with that are most reprehensible. And these acts, as he pinpoints, are that is surely should be and is punishable by law. And what makes them so glaring is, as a matter of fact, it is disregard for high authority. Now listen, that's one of the marks of the last days just before Antichrist puts in his appearance. Lawlessness will be rampant everywhere, and you can see evidences of it. You can see it in the schoolroom. You can see it in the little towns or in the bigger cities. You can see it everywhere. The rising tide of lawlessness. No respect for constituted authority. Well, then, here's coming a man. And he, of course, will be a superman. He will be associated with. I take it that the first 3 years and a half of the Great Tribulation, just before the mystery of iniquity, or before the lawless one manifests himself, the first 3.5 years will be more or less peaceful. And then Antichrist will make a league with the prince. And after he has made his league with the prince, this is what is going to follow. It says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, he's going to direct all worship toward himself, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Could you imagine a state of affairs like that in this world of ours? You see, God knows everything from the beginning right through to the end, and nothing ever happens by chance or unknown to him. He knows all about it. It's an all an open book before his very eyes. And so he has been pleased to reveal these secrets long before they take place, so that we could be forewarned and, as we have intimated, be forearmed. And oh, today, we beg of you, would you not bow your heart to the Son of God? Now listen, if you do not receive that one who stands with outstretched arms today and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, then you must needs bow to and receive and acknowledge and own Antichrist. And this is what's going to happen to all who associate themselves with him. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, don't you want to be on the safe side? Oh, trust him today, just at this moment, and salvation is yours. Drop us a line now, please. This is the address, Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. We are your servants for his name's sake.